Radio Beyond Borders presents Accents. First, we will hear from Rosina Rippey Green, who is the author of English with an Accent, Language, Ideology, and Discrimination in the United States. Then, we will hear from Tracy Darwin, who did a study called Teaching Native Speakers to Listen to Foreign Accented Speech. Finally, we'll hear from five local immigrants and refugees. I'm your host and producer, Mia Kim.
My name is Rosina Lippi. I am a former professor of linguistics. Well, everybody has an accent. An accent is just a combination of features specific to one individual's language. So, for example, the way a sentence is strung together. In Illinois and Chicago, people are likely to say, one person says, I'm going to the store, and the next person will say, can I come with? And instead of, can I come with you? That's a regionalism. And if you're talking about somebody who speaks English as a second language, that kind of accent is, they come as an adult or as a, you know, as a teenager, you start to learn English, say your native language is German or your native language is some variety of Chinese. You bring to the language you're learning your phonology that of your native language. An accent doesn't mean that a person cannot be fluent and persuasive in a language. It just means that it's the markers of their original language, of their mother tongue. In terms of language, the way it happens is this. One group of people, and they're in specific social groups. So, for example, broadcasters, teachers. One group of people tell another group of people, we are the masters of language. We speak English, or what depends on what country. It happens everywhere. We speak English. We write English in a superior way to you, and you will never, ever succeed unless you accept our model of English and approach it in exactly the same way we do. And if you don't, then doors will be closed and opportunities will be cut off because you are not speaking the proper form of English. And they are able, and they have been able, amazingly so, to convince people that that's true. So to somehow convince half the country, for example, Southerners or people who grow up speaking Black English vernacular, that their language isn't good enough, that is part of the language subordination model, that they managed to sell that bill of goods to so many people to say, for example, your English isn't good enough to have this job because you can't communicate, you can't get across what you want to say. The same thing goes on with people who speak English as a second language, people who are told that unless they can get rid of their foreign accent, you know, that they won't fit in, that they can't communicate. And the other thing is, and this is really the sad thing, is that people who buy into the subordination model, so for example, people who come from an area where there's a very stigmatized variety of English, and they go and they try to get rid of their accents, and they learn another variety of English, and they study and they study and they study, and sound pretty much like they want to sound when they're done. But it doesn't change the underlying reason they're being discriminated against. People are saying, oh, well, if only you spoke like us. Right? If only you spoke real English like we do, then all doors would open to you. But the fact is that that's not true. Discrimination will be there for another reason then. Oh, if they can't discriminate against you on the basis of language, they'll find another reason, or they won't find any reason at all. They just, you know, won't talk about it, and they'll discriminate anyway. There is no such thing as standard English. When you're talking about spoken language, variation is the way language works. Variation is not optional. It's not something that you can school out of your language. Variation is there at all levels in all aspects of your speech, from pronunciation to word choice to syntax. So if somebody tells you, well, I speak standard English, they think they're speaking standard English, but in fact they're speaking English like everybody else. Maybe the markers in their speech are more associated with more educated people or more wealthy people, but that's still variation. It doesn't mean it's no better or worse than in any other set of variation. So if somebody says to you, you need to learn standard English or you're never going to make it in this world, what they're saying is you have markers in your speech which are associated with social groups who are stigmatized. And people don't like to admit that those social groups are stigmatized. So instead of saying, you sound black, or you sound like you came from Asia, or you sound ignorant, or you sound poor, they won't say those things. They'll say, you don't speak standard English. That stuff is a matter of social evaluation that doesn't have anything to do with the language itself. Have you ever been in an argument where somebody says, you know, you two people speaking the same language, you know, a family argument, and somebody says, well, I just don't understand you. Basically, they're saying, I don't want to understand you, I refuse to understand you, right? And that happens all the time, and that happens especially, that is something that's happening a lot when people say, well, I don't understand that person, he's got an accent. People are much more capable of understanding other people with accents or without accents if they're open-minded, right? Normally in conversations, it's the responsibility of both sides, but the minute the person notices you've got an accent that I don't like where you come from, I don't like anything about you, they'll just shut down and say, it's all your responsibility to make me understand, which is just ridiculous. But that's what's going on, basically. If we really are a society that welcomes diversity of all kinds, then why do we want homogeneity in language? Right? If diversity is what we want, why does everybody have to sound the same? There's so many people who come to this country with so much to offer, and they're discouraged because the language they have to offer it in is rejected. Now, in fact, if you reject somebody's language, you're rejecting them. People don't want to admit that, but that's in fact what goes on. The media claims a lot of authority in matters of language. I'll never forget about 10 years ago, maybe more, there was an ad for one of the major news station, I think it was Peter Jennings, and it was his big face up on a billboard, and it said, the language of authority. And I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, why give this man any authority? He does a good job of sitting there in front of the camera and reading the news, but why does it give him any authority in matters of language? So the media claims a lot of authority in terms of language, and we let them have it. And they will say, well, you know, we speak a standard English because we're communicating across great distances. Well, they don't speak standard English because there's no such thing. They just speak a particular variety of English that happens to be less stigmatized than others. I think basically the media needs to get over their obsession with their own importance in terms of setting language standards. So let me ask this. Think about this. Would they refuse somebody a job speaking on the radio if they had a French accent? Probably not. Because why? Because that's culturally acceptable, because that's high profile, because that's considered a good thing. But somebody with an African accent, they might say, oh, no, we can't do that, right? That doesn't have to do with the accent. That has to do with social stigma attached to the accent and the place the person comes from. I would say before you claim that people won't understand or that people won't like it, you better look very hard at what the underlying presumptions are. Are you assuming that people won't want to understand somebody who sounds like they're from Africa or Asia? And if that's the case, then the law actually doesn't allow that.
My name's Tracy Derwing, and I'm a professor in the TESOL program in educational psychology at the University of Alberta in Canada. Second language learners tend to have accents if they've started to learn the language after early childhood. And there are very few people who can acquire a second language after early childhood without any trace of an accent. You know, there are some exceptional people, but for the most part, most people are going to have an accent. And it's because of the influence of their first language. They've already mastered a first language, and they've developed certain patterns to produce the sounds in that first language. And those carry over. They transfer over to the second language. I conducted some research a few years ago with some colleagues where we were looking at seeing whether we could train listeners, English speakers, to understand accented speech. Because our students always complained that when they talked to their ESL teachers, they had no trouble making themselves understood. But when they talked to members of the general public, people just wouldn't understand them. And often they said that they could just see it in their faces. As soon as they heard someone starting to speak with an accent, their faces would shut down, like they would just stop listening. In this study, we tried to see if we could teach people, native speakers of English, to become better listeners to accented speech. And the people we chose to work with were students in a social work program. What we did was we took three groups of students, three classes of students in this social work program, and one class received no instruction, so they were the control group. One class received instruction where we met with them eight times over 8 weeks, and we exposed them to snippets of Vietnamese accented speech, so they had exposure to accent, and then we designed lessons that were tied with their social work topics. So they had sort of sociocultural lessons tied in with the accented speech that they were listening to. And finally, we had a group of students who received exactly the same amount of exposure to Vietnamese accented speech as the second group, and they had the same sociocultural lesson. But they also had an explanation about how Vietnamese speech is accented. So we explained to them how Vietnamese is different from English. And we tested people before and after, where we had them listen to a passage that was read in accented speech, and they had to answer comprehension questions about that passage. They also had to listen to some sentences and write down what they heard. So we had some measure of how much they were understanding. And we also gave the people in the at the end of the session, we just asked them about whether their confidence had improved in dealing with accented speech, whether their interactions in the real world had changed at all because of the course that they had taken, whether their attitudes had changed at all, and whether their expectations that they would be able to understand accented speech had improved at all. So we did a number of measures. And in the end, what we found was that the people who had received the accented instruction really felt much more confident in their ability to understand accented speech. They felt that they were going to understand when they entered an interaction, and they felt that their interactions in the real world had been affected, as well as their attitudes. They were a lot more positive about dealing with people who spoke with an accent. Now, as it turns out, all of the participants actually improved over the course of the study. And I think that's partly because they all started to recognize that they had the ability. But the people who had the instruction in accent felt that they had developed these tools to understand accented speech to a far greater extent than the other students had. In fact, they'd had those tools all along, but they weren't using them. And the students themselves admitted that prior to doing the course, they would, in their terms, zone out when they heard somebody start to speak with an accent. They just felt, well, I'm not going to be able to understand this, so they stopped paying attention. And they became aware of that. And as we did the lessons, week by week, they started to have encounters with people in the real world who they might otherwise have avoided or not listened to, and they found that they could understand. And they would come back to class, and they'd be really excited and say, you know, this was so incredible. I was with my friends, and we were at a restaurant, and I was the one who was talking to the waitress, and the others couldn't understand her, but I had no difficulty at all. And in fact, their ability hadn't changed. What had changed was their willingness to communicate with people with accented speech and their willingness to recognize that if they didn't understand the first time, they could ask that person to repeat. It wasn't a big deal. When newcomers come to a country like the United States or like Canada, they're actually bringing a lot with them. And we should be grateful that they want to come, because they're bringing a range of experiences and diversity to our countries that are really valuable. And many of the people who come are highly skilled, highly educated people who are bringing a lot to our countries. So we should want to learn from them. they're speaking English, and so they've gone the distance. I think that the least that native speakers can do is make the effort to understand them. Canada's former Prime Minister, Jean Chrétien, has a very strong accent, and he makes grammatical mistakes in English. But nobody ever had any problems understanding what he was saying. I mean, they often had trouble understanding some of his policies, but they certainly didn't have any difficulty figuring out what the words were that he was saying. So he's a perfect example of somebody who was able to communicate and was successful. So we need to be a lot more flexible, I think, and recognize that we're bringing biases with us when we listen to anybody. It doesn't matter who that person is. And we need to check that and think, oh, wait a second, you know, maybe I do have a bias, and maybe I should try to overcome that. The media is supposed to be a reflection of what society is about. We should be hearing more accents on radio and on TV. I mean, we definitely should be, because there are lots of accents around. And I think it's a mistake that there aren't more accents, just as a part of the natural course of broadcastings. And it seems that responsible media would want to reflect their audience. And their audience includes people who speak with an accent.
My name is Casey Chama. I work with the Western States Center. It's a social justice organization in Portland, Oregon. And also I volunteer an organization that I founded, and it's called Center for Intercultural Organizing. I left Somalia 7.5 years ago because of the refugee experience. Most of my English was I taught myself, and then when I came to United States, that's when I had opportunity to go to college. And just working on the service industry, you have a lot of contact day to day with people, and that really immediately improved my English.
My name is Muftar Ahmed. I'm from Nigeria. I'm an artist. I came here through my artwork. English is our second language.
I am Dora Reina. I am from Mexico. I am an accountant. I am in the school right now. Every quarter, I take one class, English class.
My name is Aitin. I'm from Burma. My country is a no democracy and no human rights. Because I am empty government, I got a silent to the front. Apply to the United States by walking to the packaging for a full menu production manufacturing.
My name is Tan Jote. I'm from Burma. I've been in United States almost 6 years. In Burma, I was a Burmese government servant in education department, like a accountant. And then right now, I am a setup technician. It's making a medical wire. We speak in Burmese, but I used to study English in university. But we don't use English in our country. I learn English in the school, like an ESL class, about 2-3 months, and then practice speaking with neighboring. And sometimes we go to church. I'm trying to watch TV every day, like a channel 10 then here. It's the program teaching something, speak slowly, and then we watching TV and then practice to American accent.
When I'm an activist, when I'm giving a lecture or giving a speech or, you know, training and so forth, that's my environment. That's what I do best. And people who are coming in contact with those circumstances usually are already have some sort of a contact with the immigrant refugees, and it's also the perception that, you know, because they already have some perception about me, he must be knowing what he's talking about. When I go to the grocery store, or I try to speak to someone in a coffee shop, or I try to interact with someone that I don't know, it's a different story. Totally, it's a different story, because there's something about hearing an accent, someone who has an accent, you feel like people shut down their brain. For example, my wife and I usually go to the coffee shop. My wife happened to be an American. So we go to the coffee shop, and we try to order coffees, and sometimes I'm the front. So I'm ordering a coffee shop, and, you know, I'm assuming, and she knows that, what I am saying is a perfect, what you can call it, perfect English. I communicate well. Yet immediately the person behind the counter shuts down their brain. So immediately they were like, excuse me, can you repeat that? And it's irritating. And then you say it again, and it's like, okay, can you? And then suddenly sometimes when they realize that my wife and I are together, my wife is a white American, they immediately tend to ignore me and look at her.
2 or 3 years ago, where I was working, every day this man will be telling me that he did not understand me. So the only thing I can do is to endure with whatever happened. But later, like after 2 or 3 months, he came to me and apologized that he's sorry that at first he did not understand my way of speaking English, but now that we are interacting together, that he understands me.
In the stores, it's very common if I ask for my size. And the most people, they are nice and trying to understand what I say. But in other occasions, the people is busy or they don't like the Spanish people or I don't know what exactly. But they say like, I don't understand you and please no, just I don't understand you. They are so nice with the others, but maybe not with me. Maybe because they don't have take the time to understand what I said. Sometimes I say to her, you have to be patient, or please let me talk with your manager. The supervisor is very nice, always, all the time. I never meet the manager or supervisor like, oh, you are Latino, go away. Or, no. It was always it's like, oh, no, this is really bad, what do you need?
Most of the people is, they are regular people, they don't want to talk. Some people, they are refugee coming, they didn't have a family. You know, it's my family, daddy, mommy, is the war is dead. And a brother, sister, dead. And the other sister is missing. So how do you feel in my country, United States? So after they come here, they want to piss out. Hey, you cannot speak. What do you say? What are you talking? Hey, what do you say? I don't understand. That's one is a want to need to help people. Should be understand.
I'm talking with American people here, and then they didn't understand because my accent is different. Someone didn't understand. They asked me twice. What did you say? I feel like I need to try more accent like American here.
It's the most important. I speak English very well, without accent, and it's hard because we come when we are adult people, and it's not easy.
Some people that did not travel, especially those people that has never go out of this country, they don't know the meaning of being an immigrant. They don't know the pain. They don't know how immigrants suffer. They had never lived this country, and they don't have intention of leaving this country. And they thought that they are everything. They thought they are at the top of the life. What they need to know is that we are not from this country. And our language from our country is affecting our way of speaking English. There's no way we can do it. It will still be affecting it. For we adults, you will think of a job, think of how to finance many things, how to pay your rent, how to feed your children. With that, you cannot concentrate on this thing. It's better you be yourself. They should know that it's not easy for us to change our accent like that.
I would like to go to school and study to the English, but I gotta go to work.
For traditionally or for culture, we have to say our own accent too. That's the way I like to do, because we know where we from. Also, our generation too. Oh, is we speak and like American accent, and then we change the color, and then our next generation maybe forgot where are we from. They know when I speak. You are not American. You are not native American. Yes, I am not. I'm from Burma.
Well, I love my accent. I know a lot of immigrants who try their best to get rid of their accent because they know the consequences of having an accent. But for me, you know, that's part of who I am. I would have been devastated if I wake up in one morning and I have no accent. If I don't have an accent, what it means to me is that means I lost everything. My culture, my religion, my personality, because I'm a different human being. I come from a different place. So that's what it means to me, losing that.
We need to understand the accent. Language means communication. So if we understand the accent, it's good. And then we also let them understand our accent too. So trying to do both sides. In our job, we have a lot of immigrants like from Vietnam and Laos and then Russia. Especially Asian English accent is like the same. I understand what Chinese people speak English or Korean people speak English, but I don't understand sometimes Russian people speak in English. It's a little bit different accent. But we trying to understand their accent too, because they also trying to understand our accent. Sometimes they ask me twice or three times or four times. And then we also like to do like, we have to patient and then we ask them what they like to say.
What I am trying to say to the Americans, you know, I think you need to really do a paradigm shift in your head when you hear someone who has an accent. A lot of times people just close their head and their mind that there's no way that I cannot understand. It's a psychological thing. So I think what I would advice is that to keep their mind open, and not necessarily everybody who has an accent doesn't mean that they don't speak good English. So listen carefully and being able to clear your head that pressurize that someone who has accent automatically doesn't speak English. And I think, you know, I met wonderful, wonderful people around the world who has a happy accent, who can communicate and able to speak a good English.
I try to say the American people, they Latinos and Asians and the other people like me with accent, we are the reality here in this country, and maybe they have to work with us in that, because it's the best way for stay together here, and it's a lot of work for both parts. But I don't know if they can do it, but for my part, I want to try.
Our next show is June 22nd. Stay tuned.
The cold cheeseburger out of my daughter's hand. I told her it was because I didn't want her to get mad cow disease, but really I was just hungry.
And And this is the Thursday Morning Radio Zine for Thursday, May 25th, listening to KBOO 90.7 Portland. Coming up next on the Radio Zine, Art Focus. Julie Bernard features the upcoming exhibit at the Mark Woolley Gallery called Alien and Sedition, in association with Sedition Magazine. And at 11 on Democracy Now!, topics include turmoil in Afghanistan and the Senate immigration bill, losing Arab hearts and minds. Also, I don't know if you heard earlier, but Kenneth Kenny Boyle has been indicted on all six counts against him, and Schilling on 19 of the 28 against him. That happened today in D.C. More on that later, of course, on the KBOO News. Now, stay tuned for Art Focus.